Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are moving along on the list of 19 characteristics of human depravity that are found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This could be a rather depressing study, but it really turns out to be a helpful one because these characteristics are all found in every human heart, including your own, my own, and therefore we need to recognize these things, and if we are the children of God, we will want to recognize them so that we can deal with them. We don't want sinful manifestations to dominate our lives. We don't want sinful manifestations to make an appearance at all. They will, but we don't want them to. And we will better retard their operation within us if we know what they are, if we recognize them for what they are, and therefore can see them, can repent of them, can ask God to help us with them. And so we are working through this list. Four men will be, number one, lovers of themselves, number two, lovers of money, number three, boasters, number four, proud, and then this one, number five, blasphemers. Men will be blasphemers. Now, when we use that term in America today, we generally think of someone who is cursing God, somebody who swears and curses, but the word is actually bigger than that, it's broader than that. Blasphemer. The word means to speak evil of or to speak against, and oftentimes it is in reference to God. To speak evil of God, to speak against God, is certainly a terrible sin. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's what we normally associate with blasphemy. Well, that is one form of blasphemy, but blasphemy is a lot bigger than that. It's kind of like the biblical word fornication. To us, fornication generally has to do with premarital sex. We talk about fornication among unmarried young people, and we think in terms of adultery when we're talking about married people, but actually, from a biblical standpoint, fornication is the big word that includes all illicit sexual activity of whatever kind. It's much, much, much bigger than premarital sex. Adultery is one category of fornication. Premarital sex is another category of fornication. Pornography is another form of fornication. Homosexual conduct is another form of fornication. All of these are categories of fornication. Fornication is the big word, and these are different categories, different examples of that sin, that sexual sin, any illicit sexual activity. Likewise, with blasphemy. Yes, to take the name of God in vain is certainly blasphemy. But this word, as I say, is broader. It means to speak evil not only of God, but also of men. And in this category, it may be that the emphasis upon speaking evil of men is more what Paul has in mind. It's abusive speech. Sometimes the Bible talks about revilers, or railers, or slanderers. those who are given to contemptuous and bitter words, that's blasphemy. Those who speak in order to hurt or injure, that's blasphemy. It's speaking against someone, speaking evil of someone, speaking of someone in such a way that you hope to hurt them, you hope to injure them, using scornful language, insulting language, either of God or men, to speak evil of others, to vilify them. Matthew Henry said, when men do not fear God, they do not regard men, and vice versa, end quote. Those who don't fear God don't respect men. Those who are not respectful of others, of men, are those who do not fear God. It goes together. Be careful, dear friend, how you speak of others. Be careful when speaking of dignitaries, those whom God has placed in positions of authority. I'm afraid many of God's people cross the line in this. Sometimes we have very strong political views, and sometimes we want to make our opposition towards certain political figures known. We want other people to know in no uncertain terms how much we are opposed to what they are doing, how much we detest what they are doing, how much we are enraged by what they're doing. And all of those things can be legitimate and are legitimate up to a point as American citizens who do have citizenship privileges. We are in a representative democracy. That's our form of government, a republic, which is a representative form of democracy. It's not supposed to be pure democracy, but it is a marriage of democracy and representation. And we do have political rights and privileges and the right and the duty even to let our views be known. That's the way our government operates. But there's an awful lot of abusive language floating around out there. A lot of it floating around on the internet. People who send things who are railing against the president or railing against other political figures and cross the line from respectful, forceful opposition. Nothing wrong with being forceful. But cross the line from respectful, forceful opposition to abusive language, contemptuous language, language that is obviously designed to hurt, to injure. Be careful. The Bible tells us not to speak evil of dignitaries, not to speak evil of those that God has placed in a position of authority. Think of King David before he was king. David, when he was being pursued by Saul. You talk about somebody who had a right to be in opposition to a political figure. Saul the king had overstayed his welcome on the throne. It had already been told by God that he was going to be replaced on the throne, that his sin had disqualified him to be king. In his bitter, envious rage against David, because he knew that David had been appointed to be the next king, and he was determined to kill David, totally unmoved by the fact that God had done this. God had given him the throne, and then God had righteously removed it from him, though he was still serving there, but righteously had pronounced that he would no longer be king and his son would not sit upon the throne. And God had selected David to sit upon the throne, and Saul was unwilling to submit to the sovereignty of God. He was perfectly happy for God to make him king when God chose to do that, but he was not happy for God to make David king, and he was determined to kill David. He had soldiers out searching for David. He would have killed him if he could. He tried several times, but David would not do anything that was disrespectful of Saul. He would not speak disrespectfully about him. He would not injure him, he would not allow him to be killed when his men had the opportunity to do so, when it looked like God had delivered him into their hands, David recognized that God tells his people not to be disrespectful toward authorities, even those that are contemptible, as Saul certainly was. And to not obey what the Bible tells us to do in this area is to put ourselves in the position of blasphemers. Blasphemers. But not only should we be careful how we speak of dignitaries, we need to be careful how we speak of others, regardless of who they are. We need to guard ourselves against speaking things that may not be true, or things that are only partly true, or things that you know are deliberately designed to injure others and to do damage, and you glibly pass them on. Somebody else said them, you're happy to be the carrier, you're happy to pass that on. Be careful, you may be guilty of blasphemy, a prevalent sin within the heart of fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Be careful what you say on Facebook. I sometimes have Facebook exchanges with a particular friend that I went to school with many years ago who takes a very different political position from my own. This particular friend is generally respectful. Not always. Once in a while, his language becomes disrespectful, but most of the time he's pretty respectful. But he has a lot of other friends on Facebook who share his political persuasion who are highly disrespectful. It seems like the only way they can make a comment is to heap abuse upon someone who takes a different position. That seems to be the only way they can do it, and sometimes they do so in the most scurrilous language. And there have been times when I have actually tried to call them on that, tried to call them back. It's not necessary to talk that way. Come on, stop it, cut it out. Discuss the issues. Discuss the politics. Discuss the positions. Stake out your position, defend your position, but stop this scurrilous abuse. And what has generally happened when I have tried to appeal to them in that way is that they have turned their abuse upon me. And they lay it on. And if I protest that, try to get them to be more respectful and to have a legitimate discussion of the issues, they generally will just double up the abuse. That's their way of dealing with things. Well, they're going to have to answer to God for that. That's a manifestation of human depravity, and I understand it. I see it in the Bible. I do understand it, but I don't want to be guilty of it. I want to guard myself from it. I don't want to enter into that. I don't want to share in that. I don't want to speak evil, either of God or of men. Any man created in the image of God deserves to be treated respectfully. Even the devil himself. Michael the archangel, the Bible tells us, dared not bring a railing accusation against the devil, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." A respectful rebuke, a respectful word of opposition. That's the way God tells us to speak. That's the way God tells us to act. That's what the way God tells us to think. If we're not speaking, thinking, or acting that way, we are manifesting not godly opposition to evil, but ungodly anger, ungodly abuse. We are manifesting blasphemy. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.